Good morning. Welcome back to a second look at Psalm 118. Yesterday we looked at where it fitted into the group of psalms known as the Egyptian Hallel, and also spent a short while looking at the structure of the psalm. Now we will continue with a slightly more detailed look at most of the verses. The psalm begins and ends with, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." This is an affirmation of God's goodness and everlasting love, which is also the dominant theme of the whole series of psalms starting at 107 right through to 118. The Hebrew word translated steadfast love here, sometimes it's translated as mercy or loving kindness in other translations, here and also in verses 2, 3 and 4 is the word chesed, which Clinton has discussed several times in sermons in the past few weeks. It describes God's unfailing love and loyal love for his people, resulting out of a covenant relationship that can never be broken by God. Verses 2 to 4 identify three groups: the nation of Israel, with whom God covenanted in verse 2, the priests, the descendants of Aaron dedicated to service in the temple in verse 3, and proselytes, Gentile converts in verse 4. So this is representative and inclusive of all Jews. The priest calls and each group responds with the same affirmation: his steadfast love endures forever. From verses 5 through to 17, we see the king giving his testimony. He starts off in verse 5 declaring, "Out of my distress I called on the Lord. I was in trouble, deep trouble, and I turned to God. And you know what? He heard my prayers and he answered them. The Lord answered me and set me free. He saved me, he set me free, put me in a large space or place, as some translations have it. He gave me salvation." From the text, we don't know whether the psalmist turned to God as a last resort after exhausting all human sources of help, or whether he was in the habit of turning to God for help as a first rather than the last resort. But we do know that we don't have to be in distress to call upon our Lord. Indeed, it would be a very sorry relationship we have with our God if the only time we turn to him is when we are in deep need or distress. Of course, he hears us in those times as well, but he wants us to have a deep and real relationship with him. And that comes from us nurturing the relationship, spending time in it in good and bad times, giving praise and thanks in all things and at all times. Then it is much more likely that we will turn to him first rather than last when we are indeed in need and distress. In verses 6 and 7, the psalmist rejoices in the fact that the Lord is on his side. And not only that, he works with human friends, supporters and helpers of the psalmist in supporting him. The first consequence of this is that "I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Compare that with Romans 8 verse 31, which reads, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" How much joy can we believers take in the knowledge that God is on our side? If we really believe this with our hearts and not just our minds, we can be completely free of all fear. We don't have to fear man. Man, of course, can physically harm us, even kill us. But that's not the point. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 10 verse 28, "And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." If we are at peace with God, nobody can kill our soul, because only God can do that, and he won't, because Jesus has paid for all our sin. The writer to the Hebrews summed this up perfectly in Hebrews 13 verse 6 when he said, "So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. "What can man do to me?" Directly quoting verse 6 of this song. In verses 10 through 12, the psalmist describes more vividly the experience or experiences where he was surrounded by innumerable enemies who hated him. It must have created an indelible memory for the psalmist, for he repeats the phrase, "All nations surrounded me. They surrounded me on every side. They surrounded me like bees." From verse 17, we understand he feared that he would die. But he then received an assurance that he would not die, but would live to tell of how the Lord helped him. We don't know how this assurance came about, but it is certainly that which inspired the confidence he then expresses. Despite the overwhelming odds and lack of any human support, he is confident of victory because he is acting in the name of the Lord. He's not satisfied with merely escaping from the situation, getting out by any means possible, but is determined to take the fight to the enemy, to cut them off or destroy them, as other translations have it. In verses 6 and 7, the psalmist looked to God to interpose for him, but here he looks to God to give him the power to conquer and destroy the enemy, ultimately because they are God's enemy too, not just that of the writer. In verses 10 to 12, there's a threefold repetition of the phrase, "I cut them off." In isolation, this could be seen as egotistical and prideful, but in verses 13 and 14, we see the psalmist's heart. He recognizes that it was the Lord who helped him and provided his strength, and he readily and publicly acknowledges that. In this section where it is the king speaking, we get two choruses from the onlookers. The first is in verses 8 and 9, which reminds us of the most important fact of our lives. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Why is it better? Albert Barnes summarized it like this. It is better, one, because man is weak, but God is almighty. Two, because man is selfish, but God is benevolent. Three, because man is often faithless and deceitful, God never. Four, because there are emergencies as death in which man cannot aid us, however faithful, kind and friendly he may be. But there are no circumstances in this life, and none in death, where God cannot assist us. And five, because the ability of man to help us pertains at best only to this present life, the power of God will be commensurate with eternity. The second chorus is verses 15 and 16, praising and giving voice to the truths expressed earlier. Trusting in the Lord is never in vain. It results in joy, and God's power always conquers. In verse 18, the writer acknowledges that he has been chastened or disciplined by the Lord. The trials were severe, but the psalmist sees them as for his own good. But he has been rescued and spared. He had not been put to death. Unlike the enemy, whose attacks are designed to kill and destroy, the Lord's attacks, trials and sufferings are never intended to harm us or kill us, but to discipline and grow us. In verse 19, the writer asks for the gates of righteousness to be opened for him, that he might enter. The doorkeeper responds, "The righteous shall enter through it." There is only one who can enter the gates of the Lord of his own accord, the perfect King of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 10, verse 9, Jesus states, "I am the door or gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." The king acknowledges his salvation is of God and thanks him for it in verse 21. Then there is a chorus of praise and worship, probably by the priests, in verses 22 through 24. Here, the phrase, "the stone the builders rejected," is possibly referring to the nation of Israel, but more likely refers to the king who had such a major role in those days. Jesus applied this scripture to himself in the Gospels, as did other New Testament writers. In verse 25, we have another call for God's salvation. Israel was a small nation surrounded by enemies and always under threat. They needed the Lord's protection on an ongoing basis. The procession is welcomed in verses 26 and 27 with a traditional blessing. The words of verses 25 and 26 were used by the crowds welcoming Jesus in his triumphal entrance to Jerusalem. And we end, as we began, with praise and thanks to God. Let us pray. Lord, help us to take to heart lessons from this psalm. Let us see that it is wise to trust only in you, not to trust in fallible man, even ourselves. Help us to understand, Lord, that salvation and righteousness and right standing with God comes only through our Lord Jesus. Help us to continually give thanks and praise and worship due to our Lord and King. May God bless you today. Amen.